I don't know if you can remember back to January this year, but there was a bit of, I guess, shark fever in the air. There was a lot of sort of sightings and things like that. And one of the incredible pictures or videos that made the news was of the King's rowing team from the junior school on Parramatta River. And they captured footage of a shark, a bull shark, jumping out of the water just in front of the rowing crew. And needless to say, the training was immediately cancelled. And as I was preparing for today, I was reminded of that story, not because of the shark and what was going on at the start of this year, but I was thinking more about the actual sport of rowing. You know, rowing is one of those sports where you can put 4 or 8 incredibly strong athletes in a boat, but if they row independently, the boat's going to go nowhere. It's just going to sink or potentially tip. Rowing is one of those sports where to be successful, you need to train not only to be fit and to be strong, but to work together in sync. And when rowers follow the coxswain's directions, when their efforts are perfectly synchronized, it's then that special moment happens where the boat begins to glide effortlessly across the water with incredible speed and beauty. The power is not just in individual strength, it is in unity. And that's a picture of how the church is to be. We see in Scripture that God never designed people to be strong individuals. He designed us to move together under the leadership of Christ. And when we do that, the gospel moves forward with power and with effectiveness and with purpose and beauty. And as we wrap up today, I guess May Mission Month, where we have been thinking about what it means to really love in a way where we live on mission, we're thinking today about the importance of living as collaborators, kingdom collaborators. The materials that we've been using throughout this month have come to us from Baptist Mission Australia, and it is this idea of unity. You see, as followers of Jesus, we are called to partner not only with one another, but to partner with God to bring his love to our community and to communities across the world. And it's never been a solo mission. It has always been a shared journey, living in sync. And in our passage today, we are reminded that from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus invited others to join him into a loving, missional community. Because we know that Jesus could have worked independently if he wanted to. He could have accomplished the mission that his Father gave him by himself. But the very first thing he does in Matthew 4 is call others to join him. As it says in verse 19, come, follow me, and I will send you out to fish for people. And so Jesus built a community before he built a movement. And that is because God's kingdom has always been advanced through that collaboration of working together. And it's important for us as God's people to be reminded of that you know, we live in a very individualistic world. We celebrate independence. We celebrate self-sufficiency, personal achievement. Even faith can become individualized at a time. It's about my faith, my journey, my relationship with God, my spirituality. And while faith is deeply personal, it was never meant to be private or lived in isolation from others. The Christian life is a shared journey, and we saw that in the second week of our series when we looked at the early church in Acts 2 and how the early church embraced that same spirit of collaboration. Christian community was defined by togetherness and that mutual care. In Acts 2, 42 to 47, we saw that being lived out. And we'll touch on that in a bit. And we'll also touch on 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 today as well, where Paul repeatedly celebrates and corrects the churches that he is writing to around this theme. He reminds the church that church is not about individuals, it is about our unity. It is about bringing our gifts together in order to witness for Jesus, to live as collaborators. And in a changing world that we see around us and within not only the global but Australian church, we are seeing that the Holy Spirit is forging these new sort of kingdom partnerships, and that collaboration will actually strengthen our mission and reflects the very heart of the community that we are trying to reach. And so as we look at Scripture, we see that, you know, this is not, I guess, an optional thing. It is central to our calling as God's people. And so with that in mind, let's jump in. And I want to begin with the idea with this, is that firstly, collaboration is God's design, as I've alluded to. And Matthew 4 gives us a very simple but profound picture of that. Jesus is walking along the Sea of Galilee. Prior to this, he had been tested in the wilderness by Satan. And immediately after, he began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." And this kingdom, this work began. And the first thing that Jesus does is he now calls these seemingly ordinary individuals to himself, fishermen, to come and to build this kingdom with him. Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And with this invitation, Jesus begins forming this community that will shape Christianity throughout history. And what is fascinating about it is that he deliberately chose these imperfect individuals from a diverse range of backgrounds. Not only would it be fishermen who would be his trusted leaders and apostles, but later they would include a tax collector, a zealot, those that doubted, those that were impulsive, quiet personalities, people from different backgrounds, different experiences, perspectives, and yet Jesus brings them together around one mission. Why? Well, I think it's because this collaboration of individuals reflects the very nature of God himself. God being perfect, though, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three perfect persons in perfect unity and love. And these individuals, from the very beginning in their relationship with Jesus, they were to strive to be a picture of that, to be a picture of relationship and collaboration, the very heart of God. And so when the church works together in unity, we are reflecting something of God's character to the world around us. And it's important that we notice that Jesus didn't call people only to believe something. He called them to belong to something, to belong to someone. And that is God, of course. And that collaboration is by his design. Collaboration is God's design. But having said that, we know that collaboration is often messy, but it's beautiful. If we're honest, the idea of collaboration sounds wonderful. until people get involved. Collaboration is wonderful until we involve ourselves. And then we come up against people that are complicated, just like us, where personalities clash, where personal opinions differ, or our preferences compete. And we only have to look at the disciples to see how collaboration is a struggle. You know, they argued about who would be the greatest. They misunderstood Jesus regularly. They failed one another, and yet Jesus kept forming them into this community that would change the world. Because growth happens in community. And one of the great challenges, I think one of the great dangers of modern Christianity is that we have fallen into this trap of treating church, of treating this community that we are supposed to be as I guess what we can get out of it. It's like become a service provider to many. Instead of being that spiritual family that we need, the picture that we see in Acts 2 where they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship and to the breaking of bread and to prayer, you know, to share that life together where we worship and pray and eat and support one another, you know, it's become what do I get out of this? But as we see in Acts 2, that when we get it right, when collaboration is about unity and about growing as the community that God wants us to be, in Acts 2:44, that all believers were together and had everything in common. And that togetherness became a powerful witness to their community. In what was also a divided and individualistic world, their unity was the thing that stood out. In a selfish culture, their generosity made a difference. In a fractured society, their love stood out and people noticed. People were drawn to Jesus because they saw his love embodied in his people. And so for us, that means that collaboration is just not merely an idea. It is something that does become deeply spiritual. That we are called into this messy yet beautiful community. We are imperfect, but the thing that drives us is this, is that love is the foundation of our collaboration. The collaboration is of God's design. It is often messy but beautiful, but love is the foundation of what we do. And that is exactly what Paul sought to address in 1 Corinthians 12 and 13. You know, the passage that is often read out at weddings really doesn't have anything to do with romantic love. It is about the love that we have as a community. Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, said that the church had an abundance of gifts. Lots of gifts, but they also had rivalry, division, and pride, and people compared themselves to one another. And some gifts were being elevated above others, and it was threatening their mission, their unity. And so Paul reminds them, just as a body, though one has many parts, so it is with Christ. The church is one body with many parts, different gifts, different callings, different strengths, and every part matters. As he famously said, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. The church will flourish when people contribute what God has given them to serve. But then he says something even more important. He says, that's all good, but if you don't have love behind that, then it's not going to matter. You can have an incredible amount of gifts to offer. You can minister even without love. You can have skill and talent, but without it, it's not going to be impactful. Collaboration brings about the best of that love. Otherwise, you will encounter things like control and competition and ego and pride. Love is what holds the body together. It celebrates instead of competing. It listens, it serves, it honors, it makes room for different perspectives, which is why 1 Corinthians 13 sits right in the middle of Paul's teaching about spiritual gifts, because gifts are meant to build up others, not ourselves. They are meant to build up the church, and love is what drives its mission and its collaboration. So collaboration is God's design. It's messy. Love is to be our foundation. And when all of that comes together, it does mean that kingdom collaboration will expand mission. You know, one of the beautiful realities about May Mission Month is remembering that we are a part of something that is happening here, but also more broadly elsewhere. That we are connected to the global church, the big church, Big C church. Across cultures and languages and nations, God is at work, and we get to partner in that mission together. For our own context, you know, for many, many years, we have been supporting, as we prayed, the likes of WTL and the Hamiltons in Belarus, and Liz and Jeff and their work with Power to Change. And Jeff and Liz have been a part of our family for many years. And even though they may live in Melbourne and serve Power to Change down there, you know, we prayerfully support them. I don't know whether you saw in his most recent update, but Jeff was talking about a trip that he recently made to Amsterdam for the GAIN conference. GAIN is Global Aid Network. And whilst he was there, he realised the potential for a partnership with Australia and Germany. That would grow the work of GAIN that is happening here and in Asia. You know, kingdom collaboration expands mission. Or what about the collaboration that takes place between our local churches? You know, twice a year for coming up to 3 years now, our local youth groups have gathered in this very hall at Easter and at Christmas. And 200 plus kids have gotten to hear the good news of Jesus at each of those events because we're willing to partner with other churches. Or what about our partnership with the centre up at Dural, which is seeing our youth ministry grow, or the opportunity that I have to be in the men's shed and hands and feet food ministry. Kingdom collaboration expands our mission. And the church is at its best where we are contributing what we have, giving it to God. And when driven by love, we put aside those individual things and we join with others in building the kingdom that God is working to. Lives will be transformed. Lives will be transformed as they see the love, the unity, the willingness to work together, grace in collaboration. When that happens, the beauty of God's kingdom will go forth. And so what does all of that, I guess, mean for us today, practically? What does it mean to live as a collaborator? Well, practically, it means that we reject any form of an isolated Christianity, and instead we are willing to pursue partnerships, whether that's partnerships within our own church context or whether it's outside. And it may mean asking simple questions like, well, how can I serve alongside others instead of being independent? How can our church partner with others for God's kingdom? Where can I contribute my gifts to strengthen the body? Who might God want me to learn from? You know, learning to live as a collaborator may mean valuing unity over preference, recognizing that God's kingdom is bigger than our church or just our community, our denomination, or even our perspective. Because when we collaborate, when we work with different perspectives, different generations, different nationalities, different cultures and personalities, the gospel will create this new kind of family. You know, last week, Claire and I attended a morning tea at the kids' school down at Arden, and it was put on by the chaplain of the school to encourage parents who were in church ministry. And I was pleasantly surprised by how many Baptist pastors we have with kids at Arden. But it was also good to talk with some local pastors about what's happening in their own context, church leaders in our own community. And what I found very encouraging was a number of conversations that I had with people. There was this openness or understanding amongst leaders in our community that more than ever before, given the, I guess, the various challenges that the church in Sydney is facing, we need to be thinking and engaging in these broader partnerships. And I'm very much of the belief that, you know, if the church is to grow, if God's kingdom is to be realized, that we do need to look at how we share our resources with others, how we partner. You know, for instance, what ministry like what we have with the center can we grow and nurture so that we can bless our communities? And it will involve asking hard questions about how do we consolidate staff, for instance, or finances or resources so that two or three become better than one. Those are the conversations that I think we need to be having, exploring, as we think about playing our part, bringing our gifts, our resources to a kingdom collaboration. And I was encouraged because, on Friday just passed, Mitch and Murray up at the centre and Ben and I caught up for lunch, and we were talking more about that. How can we grow this partnership that we've seen begin over the last year? How can we bless one another? How can we meet together? How can we encourage our communities as we collaborate together? And so as we think about that, I just want to leave you with, I guess, a question just for us at a personal level. Where might God be inviting you into deeper collaboration? Maybe it's just within this context of our own church. Maybe it is through mission. Maybe it's in, I guess, something as simple as reconciliation in a strained relationship. Maybe it's learning to value the gifts that each of us bring. Perhaps God is challenging some of us to let go of our pride or our individualism, our preferences, Because we know collaboration will require humility. It'll mean serving together, praying together as we do, learning together, welcoming together, and sharing that mission together. We know that our world needs Jesus communities that are shaped by his love. Communities where people are united around one Lord, one mission, one gospel, and one kingdom. Let me pray. Heavenly Father, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we thank you for the picture that we find in the relationship that exists with you of perfect unity and what perfect love looks like. And Lord, we know that we are far from that, that we are imperfect in so many different ways. But we thank you that you invite us into that relationship, that you invite us into your work, into your mission. We pray that you would teach us what it is and how it is that we can collaborate with humility, with grace, and with love, with each other and with those that may be outside our church context. Lord, we pray that you would open opportunities for us where we can let go of pride, ambition, and Lord, that you would grow in us hearts that value partnership and unity. We pray that you would strengthen your church across cultures, across generations, and across communities, and globally, you would be encouraging your church in its kingdom work. And may our shared witness help people in our community to encounter your transforming love, the love that we see in you, Lord Jesus. We pray that in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.